Blog Talk Radio. All right, so.
Perfect. We are back on the air, and today we're talking about playing with the magic of manifesting. We got cut off there for a couple minutes. There was a mix-up, but we fixed it. That's how it works. So we're supposed to talk today about what we're talking about today. So go ahead, Crystal. Let's get back into the story of Yogananda.
So what happened was I started teaching Ishani Yoga when we started working together about 2 years ago or so. And the first incident where we started easy, trying to get his back flexible, you know, move things around, was a little bit difficult for him, as he'd never kind of moved that way before. And it didn't seem like much to me, but I'd been doing yoga for 15 years already.
Plus, I have a back injury, so it's kind of hard to work around, work that in there, and then do what you're supposed to do.
So my whole intention was to help him fix his own back. And besides, you know, obviously just saying, hey, spirit, I'm fixed. Thank you. So that works too. But on the physical realm, you do need some kind of outlet to get things out of your body. Whether that's anger or happiness or whatever it is, you still got to move. Your body still wants you to flow and move around. So what happened was while we were doing yoga, he started telling me how upset he was. The spirit was laughing at him. I said, what do you mean? He said, I hear my angels laughing at me right now because they think it's funny that I'm trying to do yoga. And I said, okay. But at the same time, they also encouraged him that they were thankful that he'd started that.
They thought it was funny that I waited so long before I did yoga. We've been telling you for years, what's your issue? Now this lady's helping you. Now you want to do it? It's very funny.
Yeah, so think about that. Even though he'd been told for years, hey, you need to do yoga. Didn't happen until came into my realm. So divine timing is always at work. It always happens when it needs to happen. So when he was doing the yoga session, besides the spirit laughing at him, Yogananda also came in. And at that time, I didn't really know anything about who Yogananda was. I just heard of him. So I said, well, it must be someone who has something to do with yoga. His name's Yogananda. Maybe that's why he's here. So I since found out he is the guru who trained under another guru who started Kriya Yoga in India. So that's why he was named Yogananda, as he came into that realm of this movement happening. So Yogananda came in to this yoga session, and I realized that all the times that I had a really amazing yoga session where I was leaving my body and in that space of meditation, because yoga really is a fantastic meditation practice, I do much better with moving or breathing meditations than I do just sitting there like a good little yogi. That's kind of not my style. But it happens. It happens sometimes. But I do a Kriya breathing yoga meditation when I do mine. So when Yogananda came in to talk to us about, yay, good job. Yay, Crystal, thank you for continuing and teaching others. I felt really encouraged that I wasn't just torturing me, Ishani. I was actually doing my work, part of what I was put here to do, by having this teaching that I was taught and sharing it with other people. And this is pretty much what all of us are here to do. Have fun, enjoy ourselves, and through what we've learned, teach other people. So we take that, and by sharing with other people, we come into this space of being able to share the knowledge and the gifts that we have. Now, this is what most of us take for granted. We take for granted that we have the ability to share with people what we've learned. We're like, oh, somebody already did it. Somebody taught me, and that's the only person they should learn it from. So there, that's it. End of story. And that's not true. You guys have your own stories attached to your own practice and the things that happened to you. You have your own methods that you've learned beyond the method you were originally taught. And there's always, always, always room for more teachers. Always. There's not enough of you. Trust me. So don't worry about, you know, stepping on anybody's toes or not being there for somebody. So anyway, you have this Yogananda who comes into our sphere and has pretty much been with me the entire time that I ever did anything for myself like that. And it was confirmed for me when that first day that I was teaching Medium Ishani, Yogananda came in and just said, thank you for teaching. Thank you for doing this for him. Thank you for doing it yourself. And I thought that was really beautiful and a very, very nice thing to share with everybody. So here it is, 2 years later, I finally feel the extreme nudge to read the book that he wrote, Autobiography of a Yogi. And it showed up in front of my face, I think, two more times in the week or so that I was waiting for the book to arrive because it was on back order and I didn't know when it was coming. But it synchronistically showed itself to me two or three times in between that time period. And that told me that it was not a mistake. It was the exact right time to read it. And there was a reason right now. So the book came. I started reading it today. And I could not put the book down. But I forced myself to. And the reason that I did is because I hate when books end. I know a lot of you who read have that same problem. But the bright side is I found out that Steve Jobs also read the book early on in his youth. And continued to read the book at least once a year because it meant that much to him, because it had that kind of teaching. This book is like the Tony Robbins of the spiritual realm, if that makes sense. So if you know who Anthony Robbins is, he's a motivational speaker, a guru of money and teachings of life, and practices what he preaches, which we should all do. You've got to stay in integrity with what it is you say that you want to do. So while I was reading this book, there was a few things that stuck out at me all in one little chapter that blew my mind. And I really had to put the book down to fathom what happened so that I could see how these things have happened in my life and applied them to myself. So which of the three stories that I told you today did you want me to talk about, Ishani?
It's all about manifesting. And
do you want me to talk
about how he was a child and the boils came up and all that?
Okay. All right. So Yogananda, before he was Yogananda, was hanging out with one of his sisters. He was pretty young. He was about 6 years old or so, hanging out in the grass. And his sister was, like, really annoyed with this boil that started on her leg. And so she went inside to go get some topical salve, and then she came back with this ointment and put it on her leg. And he said, what are you doing? She said, I have a boil. I needed to go away. I'm putting the salve on. And he took some and he put some on his arm. And she said, what are you doing that for? And he said, because I feel that tomorrow I'm going to have a boil right here on this spot. And she's like, you're crazy. You're out of control. And he goes, you know what? No. And he got really upset with her. And he said, fine, you don't believe me, I'm going to have a boil on this exact spot tomorrow, and tomorrow your boil is going to be twice the size. It's going to be even bigger. And she was like, whatever. The next day, sure enough, she had a boil twice the size that she originally had, and he manifested a boil on his arm. And he had to have it sliced and removed, and so he had like a little minor surgery on it. And to this day, he has a scar. Well, he had a scar, so they got cremated. As I told you, he passed. But throughout the rest of his life, he had a scar that showed the proof of his manifestation, the place where the boil was. And his sister learned a lesson that day about the power of words. And this is something that Yogananda's mom had taught him, to be careful what you say, to be careful what you wish for. And I don't think a lot of people give themselves enough credit for what they're manifesting, whether it's good or bad. We never want to take, blame or acknowledgement for something that we manifested that was felt negative to us. We always want to manifest things that feel, that we want to take credit for, something that was good that we manifested, that we intended on manifesting. And we could say, yeah, I did that. Look what I did. I'm magic. Woo! But we don't take responsibility for the other half. So Yogananda's mom taught him to be careful what you wish for and to never, ever, ever wish for negative things like that ever again, not for you or anybody else, and definitely not to prove a point. So don't put that kind of energy out, especially if you're upset with somebody, you're hating on someone, someone's hating on you. Don't be like, oh, God, I hope their tire pops or their car breaks down or I don't have to, but, you know, just don't do that. Wish for good things to happen and good stuff to work out, and then it will be a much better position. So it's a few years past, and Yogananda is sitting out on the balcony of his home, and he's with his sister, and this is a covered balcony. It's right at the top where the roof is. So the roof is the overhang that's covering the balcony. So if you can imagine a balcony with a railing and then a roof over the top, there is an improbability, of something. Say there was a plastic bag flying around in the wind. The probability of that plastic bag flying around in the wind coming straight to you, had you manifested it, was pretty slim. But if you believed that this plastic bag was going to come your way, fly into this little balcony space underneath the roof, well then, the likelihood of it coming is pretty damn good, but you really have to believe that this is happening. His sister, once again, challenged him. They were watching two people fly two kites over a rooftop on a building that was next to where they lived. And he was saying, oh, I'd really like to have a kite. And she said, well, smarty pants, why don't you just manifest one of those kites coming over here, and then it'll be yours. So he said, you know what? You're right. I will. Let's make it happen. So apparently there's a little game they play in India where there's kite wars. So you have two kites out, and they take shards of broken glass, and they glue them to the kite string. So as they're battling the kites in the sky, one of these kite strings is going to get cut from the other kite, and then that person's going to lose their kite. They lose. The other person is the winner. So Yogananda said, I'm going to get one of those kites to come over here because that's what I'm manifesting. And you challenged me. So sure enough, the kite war starts. The kite gets free. And instead of it just flying off or going in a different direction, he saw it coming towards them. And he's like, oh, my God, it's working. Here it comes. It's what I asked for. For him to be able to catch it or it to land inside the balcony was pretty slim. But what Spirit did was intervene and said, I don't care if you don't know how you're going to manifest this kite towards you, but I'm going to help you along because this is how we work and this is what happens. So what happened? The kite came close enough to get stuck on a cactus that was hanging off the corner of the balcony, just within reach for him to go grab it, and boom, he had a kite. And his sister said, oh, my God, that's crazy. That's out of control. But I'm only going to believe you manifested that if you can get the other kite to come here. If you can grab both kites, then I'll believe that you can manifest anything. Sure enough, the other kite got loose, and the exact same thing happened. Another kite got caught, cactus, and now we had both of the kites that he said that he wanted.
So as you learn from this story, and I know I learned from this story, I learned a lot from what I've been through recently. I've learned a lot from what I've been through this year. It's been a long road. It's definitely been an interesting road. I was definitely challenged when I was creating my course and creating my class and making new videos. And my ego stepped in like you wouldn't believe. And when I say ego, it's not that, oh, I'm so awesome and oh, I'm so great. No, it was the opposite, the complete opposite. Your mirror, your ego begins to tell you, no, you can't do that. You don't look great on camera. All kinds of things were coming on to the point where I was like, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. And then I caught myself. And I said, what is that energy that's preventing me from doing what I need to do to get me to step up to the next level and to get me to create the life that I desire and for me to do what I was put here to do, knowing darn well that it had to be done. When I got to that point, I said, whoa, this is what my clients go through when they're changing. How many times have we coached people when they got to the point of about to have an incredibly awesome breakthrough? Do they just say, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I've had enough. And they walk away 5 minutes before the miracle. One of the things that I know from another coach that I learned from is that person was in the same position to where he was going to do a job that it was so far out of his realm. It was unbelievable. It was like, I just want to do something that I don't have to think, that I don't have to work with anybody. I just do it. It's a normal everyday job. It's far less than what I'm going to get paid, but at least I'm able to do it, because that's how much your ego steps in to prevent you from making change. And it's crazy. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but what we call it is ego. When your ego or your brain is doing something that it hasn't done before and is doing something that you've always wanted to do, things are going to get in the way. You're going to have to look at yourself. You're going to have to see things you didn't want to see. And I want you at this moment to think about how many times have you come against drama, incredibly stupid stuff, when you knew great things were going to happen for you. We have heard the story a million times over when we talk to people who do music, when we have seen football players, baseball players, basketball players, everybody's story is exactly the same. There was a breaking point. They got to a breaking point in their lives where they had to face themselves. Either you can go forward or you can give up right now. And if you're manifesting the way you really know you should manifest, it won't be a question. There won't be these thoughts. It is trained. You have to do this over and over and over again. It's like somebody that's doing boxing. You think they came in the ring with the ability to just knock people out? No, they had to train themselves in order to box, or they would just get the crap knocked out of them as soon as they step in the ring. You have to train your brain. The same goes with your life as you're creating the life that you desire. When you finally get to the point, let's say, for example, you're going to buy a house, and you go into the house with a real estate agent, and you're constantly saying, I'm not going to get this house. I don't think I can afford it. I don't even know if I'm going to qualify for a loan. You're going to come in contact with things that are going to prevent you from getting a house, from getting a loan, because you have said, I can't have this. I don't know if I can, blah, blah, blah. And spirit will check you at that moment.
I'm going to point out there's a little gray area in this. You do have a minute to fix it. So the second that you start saying something, you're pretty much manifesting it immediately. When you ask for something to be done, it's done. And in the very next second when you say, I don't know, or I don't think, or I can't have, that's done too. You automatically reverse it. And I know how quickly this happens because Spirit has shown me time and time again with my own thoughts or the things that I've said. So the first thing that you said when you were talking about manifesting the home or whether or not you can get a loan, I don't know if I can, I don't know if this, that's doubt, right? That's a little different than I'm not going to qualify. There's no way. There's no way someone's going to prove me. There's no way I can do this. That's different, right? Different energy. There's ambivalence in one, and in the other one, it's absolute no way this can't happen for me, none. when you're in that space of always being ambivalent, when you're like, I don't know if I deserve this, I don't know if I can have it, and you're unsure, Spirit will give you an opportunity. Not like they chose to show you. It's basically you manifesting this energy towards you of having opportunities put in front of you to show you what you're capable of having and doing. And if you follow through with them, then your confidence starts to build. And then you'll see that, yeah, I can do this. Oh, my God, I need to apply this to my home. I need to apply this to my loan situation. So you'll notice that when you're like, I don't know, and you're kind of like in this space of hoping, wishing, praying, but not really believing, that you'll be given opportunities in between that space to practice your belief system and practice what you think can happen for you. Pay attention to that when you're that in-between space.
When you're in that in-between, when you're in basic limbo and you're just hanging there, receive that as, I'm about to have a freaking awesome breakthrough. I'm about to go through walls that have surrounded me my whole life, and I'm about to break these walls down like never before. When that happens, allow, receive. Say, I am. Know who you are out of that mess that you're in at the moment. When marathon runners run races, there's tons of stories that their body begins to beat the hell out of them halfway through the race. And this is where everybody gives up. And the other marathon runners push through to the end. But where the marathon runners that run quit is when their brain starts getting to them. Their brain starts saying, you can't do this. You're too tired. Just give up now. Don't worry. You'll be okay. You can do it next time. Next time. You could do it the next time after. You haven't trained enough. On and on and on and so forth. And the Christian Bible will call this the devil. You can call it whatever you want. But when that negativity comes in and begins to beat you down like that, you could just say thank you. Don't repeat it. Say thank you. Because if this wasn't happening, I know I was not going to have a breakthrough. So when I got in that mode, it took me a long time for me to get out of it. But I continued, and I got help, and I got coached through it, and it was hell. But we all go through this. Our human selves go through this. So the next time that happens to you where you're getting all this negativity and your brain is fighting you like crazy, say you're on a treadmill and you're like, oh, I'm going to be on this treadmill for another 20 minutes. And your body begins to break down at 10 minutes. Oh, your feet hurt. Just stop now. You can do it tomorrow.
You're thirsty. You should take a break.
You should get some water. Don't worry about it. Say thank you. I'm going to push through and I'm going to kick ass and I'm going to get that damn 20 minutes. Because when you do that, when all that's breaking down for you, you're just about to have a breakthrough. Shit's going to happen for you.
Damn.
Yes, it is.
So I want to tell you, I haven't talked about this in a while, the most supremely awesome, incredibly manifesting period in my life, besides right now, because I've been pretty good at it. But I know that the best time that I've ever manifested, I was between the ages of about 11 to 13, and I so obviously manifested incredibly fun, awesome things that were impossible seemingly, that every single day, the minimum of one person walk up to me and say, how are you doing that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, how are you just getting everything you want? You get everything you ask for. And I never thought about that until someone just flat out asked me, how are you doing this? Before that, everybody was just like, oh, man, you're so lucky. You get everything. This always happened to you. You're just letting me rub your belly. Like, everybody saw it. But until this one person said, how are you doing that? I had never questioned the how. I was just being. And, you know, drama comes into your life. You start dating. You go through all this high school crap. Then real life kicks in. You graduate and all that junk comes, right? And your whole manifestation and all your carefree and your joy and everything just starts to tank. Just pew, done. And then we become these cranky old adults who have these responsibilities and the things that we don't want to do, and some of us actually want to go back to high school just so we know we had a regular routine and it didn't involve taking care of 2 billion other people. So when I got back out of that humdrum, oh my God, I'm an adult now with so many responsibilities state, I said, holy crap. At one point in my life, I had all these people coming up to me every single day saying, how are you doing that? How are you manifesting that? How is that so damn easy for you? How are you doing it? And when I remembered that again in my 20-somethings, I said, oh my God, Crystal, what were you doing? Can you remember what you did that you had the best luck of all time every single day of your life for years on end? How did I do that? So I promised myself that if I ever did that, that I was going to make a note, write it down, package it up, and sell it, that I would share it to the world how you can do this, because nothing meant more to me than being able to feel safe and keep manifesting the things that I wanted to manifest. And I knew that when I was doing it when I was 11, 12, 13, that I did it with ease, because I expected it to come to me naturally. I expected it to just happen. When people would say, how are you going to do that? I go, I don't know, it doesn't matter. Everything works out. It always works out. It works out perfectly. And that's all I ever needed to say. But the key factor was believing it. And when I was 20-something, deciding that I needed to get back to that manifestation place, I made it my number one priority to find everything I could about spirituality, about angels, about myself, anything that I could do to improve and dive into the depths of my mind so that I could use this to get back to that place that I was when I was a wee lass who was making incredible things happen.
A wee what?
A wee lass.
A wee, what's a lass? What's a wee lass?
You're a lad. I'm a lass.
Oh, okay. A little Irish going on there.
Don't you know?
Okay.
So, I did it. I did it, I did it, I did it. I figured it out. I pieced it together, and that's what I teach now. So when I work with coaching clients, my number one priority is to find out what you want, number one. Nothing else matters. In between that, we work on your mental state, the things that you say, teaching you, basically a better language for what you're already saying and doing so that you have the ability to stay focused and keep your eye on the prize. Because it's about keeping your eye on the prize and having a sounding board to do that with. So earlier, Ishani, you said that through having coaching and through us working together and coaching each other, that you were better able to stay grounded and focused on following through with things such as continuing to do yoga. Can you tell me why it was important for someone else to show you versus spirit telling you, hey, I need you to do yoga for years on end and you never doing it?
We do this all the time. We all do it. It's as if you're in a relationship that's broken all to hell. You know you need to get out of it. You're constantly hearing, this is not working. Come on, they're making a fool out of you. They're cheating on you. They're a loser. They're always screwing up your life, blah, 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 on and so forth. You're saying this to yourself. The minute somebody else tells you is the minute, ah, crap, I need to get out. The realization, the confirmation that you're not crazy. You can say, I know I need to lose weight every day of your life. The minute somebody says, oh, I noticed you put on a little pound there. Is everything okay? I noticed you're gaining a little weight. Are you okay? I'm worried about you. As soon as they say that, the minute you jump your ass in the gym. Prior to that, you're just talking to yourself. It's just that conversation. It's that ongoing convo that you're having with yourself. So when somebody else tells you that, or somebody else tells you and confirms what's going on, then it makes it real.
So the thing that I have noticed with people who go into coaching is they will want to continue coaching when they're upset. And then when they feel better, they say, I'm good. I feel good. Ready to go. I'm going to carry on with my life. And then what happens is you start going back into where you were before because you forget to stay on that new path. You forget to stay focused on your new thought process. You forget to stay focused with your eye on the prize. You forget the things that you just learned, the things that you started to implement, and you go back into habits. So the importance of talking with someone who is going to keep you focused on your path is to not be in front of someone who's going to judge you or just agree with you for the sake of agreeing with you or be angry with you just because you want to be angry right now. And it's really easy for a friend or a family member to attach to you and say, yeah, I'm with you on this. But they don't have to do it with you. They don't have to stay focused on your manifestation. They don't have to keep you on track. Really feel a hurt or a pain or your hurt and pain when you don't follow through. They just go, oh, it's okay. You can start something new or you can do something else or you can carry on a different way or, oh, just move on. Oh, it must not have been important. But for you who keeps beating yourself up over and over and over again, it has everything to do with what's important to you. How crappy does it feel when you start doing something that you say, you exclaim to people, I'm going to do, I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And then you start doing it and you fail or you never started at all. And 6 months or a year from now, they're like, hey, did you ever move? Did you ever get that boyfriend you were manifesting? Did you guys get married? And you're like in the same freaking place or worse sometimes than you were 6 months or a year ago when you see them again. How many of you are hiding out from people in your past right now because you didn't do what you said you wanted to do, you didn't move where you said you wanted to move, and you didn't follow through with what you said you had the guts to follow through with? In a way, it's okay. Sometimes you didn't really mean it. You didn't really want what you said you wanted. And part of the telltale sign is you didn't actually start. You didn't actually follow through. And some of you, it's all you've thought about is that one thing for the last, like, 20 years and didn't do it because you were scared. How would it feel to have someone working with you who not only kept you focused on your path, but kept you excited about it? That is the key to manifesting, is to feel that joy and that happiness expanding in your heart and to have someone feel that with you, someone you can share it with. It's so easy to let things fall to the wayside when you can't share something joyful with somebody else. This is why people join groups. They join car groups. They join meetup groups. They join women groups because they want to be with other people are close enough to them to understand and feel that same joy and excitement. And this is often why people want to be in a relationship with somebody.
So we can take you through coaching. We can take you through counseling. We can take you through readings. We can connect you with your angel guides. We can connect you with your crossover loved ones. We can do all that. But ultimately, it comes down to what your desires are, what you want for yourself, what you truly want for yourself. Where are you going to be? Where do you want to be? When you begin to manifest your life the way you desire, you're going to know how magical it really is, hence the name for the show. the magic of manifesting. It is truly magical. When I watched the story of Walt Disney, he was broke. He was super broke. He went through, I don't know how many times, not having anything so he can get a movie done and money would flourish. But can you imagine how it felt when everybody around him was telling him animation's not going to work? Nobody cares about that. Nobody wants to see that. That's dumb. Why are you wasting your life? Go do something else. Could you imagine how painful that is? I know for a fact that it's very painful to hear people badmouth what you're doing. When I got into spirituality and when I started doing my work, I was always a medium. I was always psychic. But when I finally said, enough hiding, enough acting as if I'm not this person. This is who I am, and damn it, I'm going to live my life the way I desire. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you wanted me to be something else. I'm sorry you wanted me to have a 9-to-5. But my job is not having a 9-to-5, going into work, working for somebody else. My job is to serve, is to be of service to other people. Yeah, of course, when I was working, I was still being of service in one way or another. But I knew that if I didn't stop doing that, I'd never do what I'm doing now. And it took me getting hurt multiple times. And I probably manifested that too. But now I'm beginning to live the life I desire because now I'm thinking differently. Now I'm meditating and now change is coming. It's up to us to have what we desire, and you can. When you, and Spirit is talking to me right now, surround yourself with people who love what you're doing. Surround yourself with people who love you for you. Surround yourself with real friends. If you have to dump them, if you have to dump those a-holes that don't care about you, who don't care about what you're doing, go ahead, do it. They were meant to be here for a moment. And I'm only calling them a-holes for a moment because I'm feeling what you're feeling. I know how it feels.
And if you don't dump them, trust me, they'll go away on their own. And if don't take it personally, it's a blessing in disguise. That's how Spirit works.
That's true. When they've got to their point, when they've used you as much as they needed to use you, they're going to be gone. There has been a transfer. There has been a transfer of energy. You learned something. They learned something. The contract is up. Now you need people in your life that you desire, that are going to lift you up, that are going to pamper you. They're going to love you. They're going to love you for exactly who you are and what you do. Then it's time to move on. And if you do not do this, I promise you, you won't be able to live the life you desire because those people will continue to pull you down.
So I don't think we've shared our fun-loving freebies.
Go ahead, share those things.
Anything that you feel pulled toward highlighting today?
Open your heart to love is always, no matter what I do. It seems no matter how many clients I get, their heart is not open to love. If you begin to open your heart to love, which is a freebie on my website, if you go to PastLifeGuru.com, it's www.PastLifeGuru.com. That's PastLifeGuru.com. And go to download. There's a free Open Your Heart to Love meditation. And I guarantee you, it's definitely going to help you.
So let's take a minute to remind you, there is free meditations on Medium Nishani's website at PastLifeGuru.com. And if you go to ComfySoul.com, you can download a free Angels in Your Pocket guidebook. And there you can keep this in your purse or your wallet as a reminder for how to manifest and who you can call upon for these manifestations. Do not forget Your angels are always with you. They're always waiting for you to ask. So ask, 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 ask away. That's one of the messages I've been getting from Spirit is keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. No, don't keep asking neurotically for the same thing, but keep asking. You always deserve more and more and more, so ask for it.
So with that said, I want to ask Archangel Michael to come in and put the cords of energy. So all the energy that our listeners have attached to us be returned to them, and all the energy that we have spent be returned to us. And may the people that have draining cords attached to them, may those cords also be cut. Thank you, Archangel Michael. Thank you for cutting these cords, and thank you for your ongoing protection. So go your way with blessings, and know you are loved. Stay in the love and light. Bathe in the love and light. Be a light, not a judge. Be a model, not a judge. Live a life. Live life with love and light, and only be around those of love and light. And may you have an abundance of love and light to share. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Namaste.